Good evening to everyone. Welcome to this cabinet meeting on 17th of November 2022. I'm just going to run through a few bits and pieces. This meeting will be recorded and the sound recording subsequently made available via the Council's website. In addition, under the Local Authorities Executive Arrangements, Meetings and Access to Information England Regulation 2012, other people may film, record, tweet or blog from this meeting. The use of any such images or sound recordings is not under the Council's control. So, let's kick off the formal meeting. So, item one, apologies. I think we only have apologies from Councillor Harper Davis. Is that right, Laura? Yep, okay. Item two, disclosure of pecuniary interests and other registrable and non-registrable. Adrian, I'm never going to get used to this. This is the wrong way of describing this. So I think we do have a couple. I'm going to declare an interest under item eight. We have one of our investments, I think it's listed as Santander, and my wife is a director of Santander UK. Adrian, I think we've actually, I've declared this before, and I can't remember how you treated that declaration, whether it's just a declaration or whether I need to leave the room for that item.
If it's a paid position, I would advise it's a disclosable pecuniary interest.
In that case,
you'll probably need to leave the
room. I will leave the room in that case because it's most certainly a paid position, so I will leave the room on that one. Okay, I think also, Councillor Poland, you've got a declaration under item seven.
Indeed, so item seven, I'm a member of the ESPO management committee, so that is not a paid position, but nevertheless, I will leave the room for it to be on the safe side.
Okay, right, have we got any others? Councillor Bailey.
It was just, not necessarily pecuniary interest, just a matter of clarity really. I'm a member of Outwards Management, so with regards to agenda item six, Outwards is mentioned, but I have nothing to do with that. So in terms of, I keep an open mind.
Pretty sure that's not a pecuniary interest of any sort. Is that right, Adrian? Being a member of the Outwards Management Committee in relation to the award to the events company.
There's no direct connection to the management committee, I don't think. No. So I think perfectly right transparency to make people aware of, but I don't think it would require Councillor Bayliss to leave the room.
Okay, and that would apply to me as well. So, okay, that's fine in that case. Good. We will still be quorum in that case. Right, any others before Laura starts having kittens? No? Okay, I don't think there are any others. Okay, thank you very much. Right, item three, needs announcements. I haven't got a formal announcement, but I would like to welcome Councillor Baines here and he's joined Cabinet. It's your first Cabinet session. It will possibly not be a sort of standard one in the sense that we're rather sort of selective about what we're talking about tonight, but welcome very much to joining us. And hopefully you'll pick up your portfolio pretty quickly and you'll be presenting within the next session or two. So that'd be great. Brilliant. Okay, so nothing else to add. So item four, minutes of the previous meeting. Is everyone happy with the minutes of the previous meeting? Good, okay, thank you. We'll move on to item five, questions under Cabinet Procedure 10.7. No questions were submitted, so we now move on to the main agenda items, which are item six, charm of grants. So we have we've got Peter Oliver here, who's director of housing and wellbeing, and we also have Verity Graham, neighbours and partnerships manager. Thank you very much for being here to assist the report. We don't actually have any scrutiny commission reports this evening, so we're going to go straight in to the items as usual. We'll take all items as read. So this, I'm supporting Councillor Harper Davis on this one to open with any remarks. This is Charnwood Grants round two. I think everyone's aware of where we are with sort of slight change in emphasis on the grant funding. This paper very much reflects the sort of change in the awards and the focus on cost of living in particular. And the award itself is quite clear in the way that it's presented, so thank you very much, Verity, for bringing it to us this evening. Are there any additional points, Verity, that you want to particularly tease out from the report? As I said, we'll take it as read, but if there's anything in particular that you want to draw our attention to, then please do.
Just as chair of the panel, we just wanted to say that it was a particularly difficult one, and lots of really amazing projects that we would have loved to support. But given the direction from Cabinet and the feelings of the grants panel, we felt it was appropriate to use the cost of living. And then obviously it was almost oversubscribed by three in terms of the amount asked for. So the panel were pleased with the decision, but it was quite a long process with lots of discussion to make sure it was as equitable and making the most of what we got to offer. So I'd just like to thank the panel because they were really diligent and stuff, so it was good to get it sorted.
Yeah,
but apart from that, I think there's just, I don't know if anybody's picked it up, but on page 38, 145, we just left you guessing as to what they were applying for. But four of us read it and nobody noticed, so it was basically for the cricket club. They were applying for support with their increase in energy costs, but it was a dot, dot, dot. So just in case anybody would pick that up.
I must admit, they had raised it with me, so I psychologically, I think I probably had actually already inserted what the dot dot was, so I did actually know what it was for, but that was admittedly from them raising
say,
it with me rather than the other
say,
way around.
The grants, person who sort of drafted the beginning for us, Emma, Rebecca Dobson, went, when she saw it. So apologies for that.
Okay, thank you very much. Right, questions. Councillor Rackway, I think you have a question.
One question, one comment, really. On the question, so there's, of the grants in the community grants, we've got three in there where we're kind of splitting up where the funding's potentially coming from. So we've allocated a certain amount of funding from the community grants, but then we've got potential for them to get top up from the cost of living fund. How would that work, and is that likely that they will get the additional money there?
At the last cabinet, it was approved to do the funding, and so the processes that we've created as part of the now Communities Board and the Cost of Living Group, a simple pro forma that's already gone out to a couple of organisations that are filling gaps that we've already identified. We're completing the same pro forma, and then it goes to the Cost of Living Group to decide if that's needed. In some cases it might not be, which is why the panel felt that it was hard for the organisations to predict costs and need, so they sort of went for the most they could, which was 5,000 in most cases. So we'll fund them initially from the grants, and if they do need it, then we will ring fence, if it's approved by the Cost of Living Group, we'll ring fence that money for future need. But it's always going to be reviewed because it might be that they've underestimated or overestimated.
Well, they might have got some funding from elsewhere as well.
And equally that point of view, because there is stuff coming through, and I know county do have a Shires grant that is of a similar.
And I think
vein.
Some of the parishes are trying to help out.
The cabinet report last time did allow that flexibility with stuff, so it just helped pad out the amount of money we've got to offer, so that we use that as a sort of backup, really.
Okay. And then my other point was a comment, really, just on it's always great to see such diverse groups that we're able to support, and that we're able to give the money that we do, that we're still able to support those groups. So it was just a comment on that, really, as well. I think it's really great to see that we can support our community.
And we've got quite a few new ones still coming through the voluntary and development officer. We're helping a lot more groups coming through that were grassroots originally from different things, particularly COVID. So yeah, it does allow us that.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Any other comments or points anyone wants to raise? No? Okay, look, thank you very much, and particularly pass on thanks on to the panel. As you described, it must have been a pretty tough session. Looking at the list in particular, you know, there are a lot of organisations and people in the moment who are, you know, very short of cash and lots of ideas about what they can do to support the community, and obviously trying to actually whittle that down to what we have available is difficult.
And just to reassure from previous meetings, we are providing additional support through the development officer where we can. And signposting, so it's not just an abrupt no, sorry, you know, we are looking at signposting for different things. It's challenging, but we'll do what we can.
Brilliant, thank you very much for that. Okay, so no other questions. I'm going to move the offer of the recommendations 1-4 for reasons given 1-4 on pages 11 and 13. Councillor Ratway, are you happy to second?
Yeah, very happy to second.
Okay, can I see all of those in favour? That's everyone present. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Clarity. Thank you very much, Peter. So we now move on to item 7. Councillor Poland is about to vacate the room. Okay, so we've got Justin Henry is our Director of Commercial and Economic Development on the screen in front of us to assist with the report. So I'm going to ask Councillor Barclay to introduce the item before we move on to any discussion.
Thank you, Leader. Many of you remember that we renewed the gas contract on the 24th of February 2022 for a period of 4 years with ESPO, which is a professional buying organisation. We're now looking to go into the market slightly ahead of the game. Our contract doesn't actually end until the 30th of April 2024, but we will commence buying forward electricity from early 2023. It's worked well for us in the past. These are professional people who buy in bulk. By adding a little bit in, electricity costs us on an annual basis something in the region of $840,000. So it's a substantial amount. And despite the variations in the energy market, this will serve us well and get best value. So the paper outlines exactly where we are, what we've done in the past, and we are asked to give authority to the officers to enter into a contract with ESPO. And that, in a nutshell, is where we are. And I'll hand over to Justin to add anything else he wants to add.
Thank you, Councillor Barclay. Thank you, Leader. The only thing to add on that is, so the members are aware, the forward purchase of electricity is not done in such large blocks that avoids us, or that precludes us from taking advantage of fluctuations in the market. So there are elements that are purchased in advance, which the professional buying organizations all cooperate. And this is Crown Commercial Service, YPO, NEPO, ESPO. They all coordinate and cooperate in terms of understanding the fluctuations within the market, the forecasting, and purchases are made at the best price advantageous spot at that particular point in time. So even though this agreement is for quite a long time, that's not to say we are purchasing, block purchasing in one purchase, all of that electricity. That will happen in lots over time, so that if we find that elements globally resolve and the energy markets tend to calm, that we'll be able to take advantage of the better pricing at that particular point in time. I just want to make that clear to members that we're not necessarily tying ourselves into a higher priced agreement than we would otherwise like.
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yep.
Right, do we have any questions or any points that anyone wishes to make? Councillor Bailey.
Just more of an observation really. I'm always not cynical, but slightly skeptical about these sort of buying agreements, and then obviously reading the report shows actually the rough sort of figure that's been indicative of where you think that electricity prices are going to be, and I was quite pleasantly surprised at how low those prices are predicted to be compared to, certainly I know what I've fixed in as a business, and I know what similar businesses to myself have also fixed in at, which is a lot higher than predicted. So, you know, it clearly is a useful way of managing that fluctuating market.
Yeah, very good point.
Yeah.
Any other points that anyone wants to raise? Councillor Ratway.
Just following on from Councillor Bailey's points, really. So just in the report on section 6, so it's got forecasted cost at 20.31 pence per kilowatt. The current price, market price, is 34, and that's the frozen rate. Businesses have only got that for 6 months, come April, those prices are going to go much, much higher. I mean, even the, even what's been announced today for residents is going to be 40% higher than what they're paying now. And there's going to be no cap again after April for business at all. So that rate is going to be probably twice what that 20 pence rate is. And I don't think that's an over-exaggeration at all. So I think if we are anywhere near those prices when we get kind of like locked into this, I think we'll be getting a much more competitive price than we could any other way.
Okay, good points. Seems like it could be a very good outcome. No more questions, but I mean,
no,
Tom, do you want to
say we can't second guess it until they've actually fixed the prices? That's not determined providence. It looks very good to me, but anything can happen between now and when we actually do it. It's going forward for a long time, but we will start. I think the point Justin makes is absolutely right. We're not going to go in there and buy £3.2 million worth of electricity on Thursday, but they're going to. Phase it, and these people are professional buying organisations, they have masses of experience, and we let them do their job.
Good.
One thing I think would be worth noting is that all the electricity we are sourcing is from renewable sources, for anyone listening to this is quite important to know.
Yeah, it is. It is the very last, I think it's the very last line on the report actually makes that out. And now, of course, I can't find it. It's
point nine.
Page
56. It says electricity purchased from this framework will be from renewable sources.
Yeah. Very good point.
Yeah, it is a good point.
Okay, and also, you know, we still have plans to actually use less electricity by things like investing and replacing all of the LEDs, etc., etc. So. Yeah. Even at the sort of more competitive rate, hopefully we can actually reduce our consumption accordingly, so wherever we can, so that's good news. Are there any other points or any comments that anyone wishes to make? Okay, in which case I'm going to go back to Councillor Barclay for recommendations.
Right, I'd like to make recommendations 1 and 2 on page 52 for the reason 1 and 2 on page 52.
Okay, can I ask Councillor Boker whether she'd be happy to second?
Very happy to second.
Brilliant, thank you very much. Can I see all of those in favour? That's everyone. Thank you very much. Right, we'll get Councillor Poland back in the room. I'm going to disappear out, so I'll actually do a swap and bring him back in.
Okay.
I'm going to hand over to Councillor Barclay, and you have the privilege not only to take item 8, but also to close the meeting when you're finished.
Thank you, we'll leave you out there.
Thank you. Right, James, you're back in. I'm going to play tag and stay out.
So this is item 8, which is the half yearly treasury management update for review. The report outlines how we manage our cash flow on a day-to-day basis, how we manage our investments, what our overall level of borrowing is, including any future capital requirements for the next 12 months. We operate within defined parameters within this policy. It also outlines the institutions we can invest in, how much we can actually invest in them, and the limits of time that we can invest in them. There is also an economic report within this, a global economic report, which frankly is in such a short time. I mean, it's as at the 30th of September 2022. It's historic. It's very historic. Things have really moved at a pace since then. Everything has changed, and even after today, things will change yet again. But bringing it down to a Charnwood level, what I would say to you is that we are within all the parameters we need to be in this report. We're managing our finances. We do get advice on a daily basis from Link Asset Management. We're certainly not relying on the economic report as of the 30th of September. And We are kept very, very much up to date with status of the institutions we invest in. If they change, we are advised immediately. We can't always react immediately, actually, if we're invested for a period of time. But also it makes sure that we are not over-borrowing, that we can actually afford the borrowing that we have. You will all be aware that we've locked into about £79 million worth of borrowing on the HRA, the lowest interest rates in 300 years. That is going to mature over the next 20 years or so. We have a fund which is put aside to repay it as of when it comes due, if we choose to do so. I'll hand over to Leslie now to cover anything that I've missed.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Barclay. Just to add a few things, just really for information, this report was reported to Audit Committee on the 8th of November. Also, a couple of comments from the Audit Committee that the investment portfolio that we've got in Appendix 1, they would like to see sort of the percentage returns that we're getting on each of the investments. I think the report that I've provided gives a summary of the internal interest rate that the council's actually getting at the moment, which is 1.21, and that's compared to, we actually benchmark that against, it's a sterling overnight indexation rate at 0.91, so we are outperforming that rate at the moment. We are sitting on £54 million of internal investments, and then another £5 million of property funds. So the interest that we've earned to date is £402,000. That's not all just for the general fund. Obviously, the balances that we hold are split between general fund and HRA. So we will be passing some of that interest over to the HRA. The report provides a high-level overview of the capital expenditure, which is fairly slow at the moment. The HRA have just procured some new contractors, so the HRA capital investments and capital programme will start to spend now, and we are looking at the profiles on that. In terms of daily management, we have got a treasury management officer, and we do look at sort of the cash balances on a daily basis, and we do get weekly updates from Link, and we do check our portfolio on a weekly basis to make sure that we are within the range of monitoring. So that's a quick overview. If there are any questions.
Thanks very much. So any questions from members?
Leslie, I did read it. It was like sitting at a dentist reading an old edition of The Economist. It's got that Liz Truss had just become Prime Minister. I realise why you have to put this in, and I realise that by the time it comes to Cabinet and Council, it's going to be very out of date. But is it, my first question is, really necessary that it is in the body of the report? Can it not be as an appendix, or can it be massively abbreviated? That's my first question. Secondly, having taken the trouble of reading it, it was a little bit worrying to see it wasn't just a historic report as to what's happening. It was making various predictions which are completely wrong, in terms of saying fuel prices are coming down, inflation is levelling off, and so on. And I just worried if we're relying upon whoever wrote this for advice, are we doing the right thing? Particularly where they actually predicted the PWLB interest rates. It seems that looking at the latest figures, that they may be perhaps 20% out on that, and that was only a prediction made last month. That's my first concern, whether we really need to be subjected to this historic information that couldn't be put as an appendix to the report, so we can actually get to the to the meat of it. And also there was a sort of fairly glaring typo which suggested I hadn't actually been checked, you know, where you're actually
that
writing.
Page 68.
That is page 68.
Yes, I've flagged that up with Laura, but yeah.
And some of this is just cut and pasted from other councils. the section beginning above that, the paragraph the council will aim to achieve, is word for word a report that was from, and I spotted a number of councils actually put the same paragraph in there, in that report. Some Stratford upon Avon District Council, word for word, puts that in. So it'd be nice to read original material and to have it in a slightly more condensed fashion to actually let us read it. So perhaps, does it make sense appendicising, that's the right word?
Yeah, certainly, I've certainly taken your points into consideration. In terms of the Link Asset Services, they do provide us with that economic update, and that's obviously we procure and pay them for that professional service. So that is the information that we do use. So from obviously they are contracted with all councils to provide that same snapshot of information. So does that answer the question? Because sorry, there was a few questions.
It was just my concern.
So you prefer that as an appendices to the report as opposed to being embodied in the actual. I think that
I take the point. I mean, to be honest, the world has changed in the last 4 or 5 months. Things have changed dramatically. It is a report provided by Link Asset Management, who clearly are, as he said, providing it to other. Other authorities. All the points are taken. They really need to polish their crystal ball a little bit more forcibly to see what rate are going. It's virtually impossible in the current situation with the war in Ukraine, with the massive change in economic policy. I take all those points and maybe as an appendix, but the fact of the matter is, I'm more interested in our finances, and thankfully we haven't veered from the straight and narrow anything like the national finances. There is assurance within this report that we are operating, I don't want to tempt providence, but we're operating quite well. But yes, I think it is a fair point, it's very outdated, and really I think if we could get it attached as an appendix, that would be better, because we're certainly not relying on historic information. I think that's the point we need to make clear. Is there anything else you've got, Rob?
Yeah, we'll look to see whether we can either condense it or put it in as an appendix, depending on what the requirements are, both in terms of the guide and any constitutional directions we've got. But if it's just our local custom and practice, then I think that's relatively simple for us to do.
Yeah.
In terms of, as you've already stated, Councillor Barclay, there's an ability to predict accurately at the moment is really difficult given the volatility. So I'm not surprised there's some things in there that Fintasset didn't get quite right. But we are still confident in them generally. It's not the only source of information taken. We've got officers that obviously review the situation more generally and take advice on a sort of more up-to-date basis. So it's an ongoing process of daily, weekly managing the Treasury rather than relying on spot-time reports from linked assets. So just quite a bit of reassurance to some of the points that were raised.
I have a little gap saying, insert here, name of Prime Minister.
Just one final thing. We are looking at other benchmarking. There are some benchmarking groups that you can sign up to through Link Asset Services.
Yeah.
That's fine, but then they're not always comparable in terms of we've got. We're holding balances of 59 million, Leicester City holding a lot more money and that sort of thing, but it will be another good measure. We have done benchmarking before, but I think it will be another sort of indicator really of how we are performing.
Generally, we haven't, our investments haven't performed badly. I mean, again, with the interest rates, the way they're going now is completely different.
Just wanted to suppose if it's possible to, in terms of volatility, one might buy this information more frequently. And I just wondered, instead of it sounds like it's every 2 months, is it possible to get more recent information? Because obviously, inflation's hit 11.1%, that difference between what it says in here and the current real rate is significant for any investment. I'm just wondering, can we get more recent information?
I think through Councillor Barclay, obviously at the moment we are working to our current treasury management strategy, and we are obviously the counterparties that we work to, we've got certain limits that we're working to. I think the next treasury management strategy report we will be looking at to see whether or not we can do something more longer term, start with other local authorities, and our treasury management officer, we do hold off some of our investments when they are maturing, just to sort of watch the market and see whether we can get those better rates coming through. But the advice is that we always, obviously it's security first, then liquidity. So we are mindful of that at all times. So I think we are looking forward to see what more we can get. That 1.21 was very early on, obviously in the financial year before the rates started to take off. So we are seeing some better investment rates coming through now. So that's why I think on the appendix of the portfolio, it would be quite good to see what rate we're getting from Santander, yeah, and what rate we're getting from the others, so you can sort of see across the average of the rates. Yeah. We have to keep a sort of a working balance of sort of around 15 million a month to pay off preceptors' salaries and capital plan costs. So we have to keep a buffer back in money market funds, so we can't invest all of that 59 million in longer term. So we are looking at our cash flows and our cash management to see whether or not we can refine it a bit better to get some longer term sort of rates.
Thanks very much, Leslie. Rob?
I think as well, just to elaborate further, I think in terms of the advice we get from linked assets, so we get some monthly reports, but I think from what I understand, we also get sort of daily updates and briefings and things. Yeah. So something happens. So in terms of that speed of advice, there's a daily news flash and there's weekly updates. So there's things that mean that we aren't waiting for news to hit us. We're trying to catch it as it comes through. And linked assets are paid to do that for us and a range of other councils. That's part of the service we've procured from them. I hope that helps.
And we also do a level of internal borrowing as well, don't we? Which is quite substantial. But as Leslie said, there's we've got to keep certain balances in place for the capital plan, for the preceptors, Leicester City Council, Fire and Police Society, because we're holding funds really pending paying it over, and also for the parish councils. But the historic report within here on the global economic situation is just exactly that. It's historic, but don't go away with the idea that we're not in tune with what's going on. Our asset managers are tasked with keeping us up to date. Paul, did you want to say something else?
I was just going to say, you know, it is historic. It's almost useless in its current form. That's the problem. And I'm well aware that that's not to say that we're not getting the information. I think it's important that we acknowledge that. But I just wonder if there's some other way in which a current picture can be provided, rather than that report, a link to a live report perhaps, or something along those lines. Is there a way in which we can improve our management information? That's what I'm asking.
I think it's not so much the management information, I think it's the global report we get. I mean, this is at the 30th September, and apart from the typos and everything, it is probably their best guess at the 30th September. But what you're really saying is, could we get more up-to-date information to include within the report? In honesty, even if we had one last week after today's announcements, that would probably be historic. So it is difficult. I think the idea of attaching it in an appendix, because I do think it is slightly, it gives the wrong impression that we're relying on that sort of outdated information, which we're not. I think the Chief Executive said we are in touch with them daily, but we will look into that and see if there's a way we can get something a bit more relevant. But it's been through audit, it's going to go through here, it's going to go through full council, and just the process of that 6 or 7 weeks, we'll have a look at that. And you know, I think the points are made are valid. But the point I would emphasise that our finances are sound and are monitored, and we're within all the parameters we need to be in, and we actually use our money quite efficiently, and we have done for many, many years. And it's unfortunate that circumstances nationally, globally, have transpired against us. Very difficult to be up to date day by day, particularly recently, it's really changing. So, look, we'll have a look and see what we can do with that. I think we'll definitely have a look at that and see what we can do, either attach it to an appendix or whatever, but it is difficult. Right, have we got any more comments or questions? No? Okay, so we are asked... It is recommended to Council to note this mid-year review of the Treasury Management, Prudential Borrowing and Treasury Indicators, plus the annual investment strategy set out in Part B for the reason as indicated on page 57. Could I have a second for that? Thank you. Thank you, Paul. All those in favour? That's fine. So
Councillor Barclay will correct the typo that's on page 68.
That's just I think that was a note to remind people. Yeah, it was a typo. Look, that brings my speaking to a close. It's a pity we don't have another door to go out. We'll leave Jonathan out there.